First, I want to mention, tonight after tomorrow, there's going to be changing over the base matters to get ready for Yom Tov. So whoever can help after tomorrow, everybody's requested to help, be here after tomorrow to help. The Rosh Hashanah test, Sheyachiyach Hazam Yisoy, V'lo Yisrael Lov Chet. A person should give Techocha to somebody else, and he shouldn't be Noise Chet in him. So that's the Rosh Hashanah of the Pasuk. The two pshatim in the pasuk, one is referring to the mitzvah of teichacha, but the pshutay of the pasuk, the way the Rambam learns and brings it down in the yad, and the way the Ramban learns in the pasuk, it's not referring to the mitzvah of teichacha at all. It's actually talking to the idea of having a conversation with somebody. A person has done something wrong to you, and it bothers you, so you could respond by, you know what, it's a pasmer nish that I should go and pretend that it tells people somebody bothers me. You know, like it's a little thing. Like, come on, move on with life. But really, it bothers me. So I have a kind of chet. I'm noisy chet in him. I have a claim of chet on this person. Discuss it with him. Be machiach with him. Let him prove himself to you. Let him explain himself to you. And don't put a tine. Leave a tine on him. Don't leave him hanging with that tine. So but that requires. I'm lowering myself in a certain sense. I'm admitting that that little thing bothered me. And it requires an open ear. It requires when the person discusses it with me and he explains, I have to hear what he has to say. I have to really listen. So I have to get out of myself in two ways. I have to get out of myself and be willing to recognize what's really that things bother me and I need to address them. And sometimes I can't move on without addressing it. And number two, I have to learn how to listen to somebody else. And that's a tremendously difficult thing to learn how to listen to somebody else. Revolba has one of his vadim. He talks about that he sent the oilam out to do chesed. He says, before I do chesed, you know what? You know, the vadim was on chesed. He says, just first few times, just sit and think about what other people need. So they came back after 2 weeks, and they said, you know, that basically each person reported that they noticed other people's needs were very, very parallel to their needs. So he says, you didn't see the other person, you saw yourself. You projected yourself in the other person. He said, what would you be in that situation? What would you do? What would you feel? And, boom, you saw that he has the same need. You didn't see the other person, you saw yourself. That's not the avoid. The avoid is able to see it. We look at the world in a certain way, and according to the way we look, we usually feel that we have a correct time, etc. There's another way of looking at it, and in that way, the person has a very good point. It's a challenge. There's another element over here which is significant, is that to be able to listen to somebody else without getting on the defensive and truly listening to him, we have to be comfortable with ourselves. The Belt says that first you have to love yourself before you can love somebody else. If I don't love myself, I'm not comfortable with myself, I have low self-esteem, etc., so I'm busy always protecting my very fragile self. So anybody who's doing something other than that and disagreeing with me, etc., becomes very, very dangerous to me. It becomes like he's in opposition to me. The person is very comfortable with himself. You know what? I'm my way, your way. I have room in the world for other people because I don't need to protect myself from all the people around me. I don't perceive them as an attack. So the person who's comfortable with himself, and you know, whatever issues they have, but they understand where their position in the world is, how important they are to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, what their role is, and they're comfortable with that, they can now say, you know what, okay, you have your role, and your position, and you come from your vantage point, and maybe you have a good point. I have room for you. But if I'm busy protecting myself, I can't hear somebody else. It's very hard to hear somebody else. That's the Pshuto Shel Mikra, according to the Rambam. The Rambam does point out, if you want to be Moichel the person without discussing with him, if you can truly remove it from your heart, truly remove it from your heart, and move on like nothing happened, do that. It's not to hate. But don't pretend. So a person comes and asks you for mechila. Erev Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur. You know what? It bothered you. So, you know, you say, you know what? I'm not really sure I'm Moichel you. That doesn't sound nice. You're from a year to Erev Yom Kippur. You say, Moichel. That's not fair to him, because he didn't have a chance really to appease you and address it, because you didn't tell him that it bothers you. Let him know that, you know, I mean, if you can move on, just to hate, move on. But if you can't, address it. I would add that many times the reason we can't move on is because we have problems with ourselves. So we sometimes we just have to look deep inside ourselves and say, what's bothering, what's really bothering me? It's not the other person that's bothering me, it's myself that's bothering me. And work on myself and maybe I can move on. Tell you two stories in conjunction with that. So I said, once somebody came to Rabbi Yalapian, tell you three stories. Rabbi Yalapian and asked him for mechila about something he did to Rabbi. And Rabbi said, come back in 2 weeks. So the fellow was not very happy that it's just say your mechila. You know, he wanted to say your mechila, but he goes to one of the gedolim and he says, you know, I'll come back and do it. I'll see if I can mechila you. Feel real good. So he says, you think you can't just say it? I have to be honest. So I'm going to work. I'm going to learn most of the next 2 weeks. I'm going to work on myself that I should totally eradicate from my heart any type of tain on you. And hopefully I'll be successful. Came back 2 weeks later. He said he was Michael. Story with the Moshe Zatzal, Moshe Feinstein, that one person wrote a very very vicious letter against the Moshe. It's not it happened. And a little while later, this person came to Moshe for help in a certain area. So obviously, people were very upset that the chutzpah of this fellow, besides after writing such a letter against Moshe, he comes to Moshe for help. But Moshe helped him. So they asked him, he says, listen, it came to Yom Kippur, and I said, I was Michael everybody, but Leib Sholem. I was Michael them, so that's it. It's behind me. And he moved on totally to life. Whatever it was, it's behind me, and I'm moving on with life. Third story is a little more of a personal nature. I once, more than once, we say things against Rebbeim. Talk about Rebbeim should do this, they shouldn't do that. Why do they do this? Why don't they do that? They don't understand what the Bachar really needs. We have all these cheshbonos, all these different things. And I've told you my stories about how when I get older, I realize my Rebbeim were smarter than I thought they were. Of course, I've gotten smarter also, so I'm still smarter than them, but just they're smarter than I thought they were. Right. The famous line from Mark Twain, he says, I went away to 4 years of college and I came back and my father had gotten much smarter than when I left him. So, you say something really you shouldn't say. So I got the gumption up to finally ask the Rashiva of Gifter. I went over to ask him Mechila about something that I said. And the Rashiva looked at me straight in the eye. Gave me one of those looks he's like looking like straight, you're not there. He says, you can say about me whatever you want. And he walked away. And I was totally deflated. After working myself like a whole week to get up to this, say you're Michael, say you're upset, say you're not upset. You are totally irrelevant to me. I couldn't care less what you said about me. That's basically what he said to me. If she was so comfortable with himself, it didn't bother him. He didn't need my approval, he didn't need my disapproval. He wasn't running a contest, a popularity contest, to be accepted by anybody. It was seen him and his creator. And him and his creator, he felt he was doing good or not good, that's his business. But it's nothing to do with me. And that explained to me a scenario which there was a machloikis which took place, as it happens, between two parties in the yeshiva. And one of the parties was the yeshiva. Remember it came to Yom Niroyim, this person came to the yeshiva for Yom Niroyim. And he thought his seat was right in front of the Rosh Hashiva seat. So you have these two parties right in front of each other for the whole Rosh Hashanah. I know by me, it's my Rosh Hashanah davening. Here's a person which I have had a machlokes with. I'm upset at him. I have tainas on him. He's done things which I think are wrong. And he hasn't backed down yet. And he's right in front of my nose for 2 days straight. And then Yom Kippur again. While I'm trying to be Isaac and Shuvah, I got this guy staring me in the face. And he was there, totally comfortable, etc. The Shiva was not garrison. Just whatever. Look, he's here. I don't think he noticed. It wasn't his life. He didn't wrap up his life in somebody else. And we get so wrapped up in our life, we define ourselves by the people around us, and people think about us, but don't think about us. Half the problem is people don't think about us. They should think about us more. Or we think people think about us when they're not really thinking about us. One time, I had a bocher in yeshiva. He came to me one time after. He says, he said to me, I have tainas in him. I said, he says, I hate to break the news to you. I really don't spend so much time thinking about you, tainas or not tainas. It's just not so important to me that I think about you all the time. And the guy, didn't take that so. He said, really? I said, really? It's just, you're not, I'm sitting there thinking about why I don't like you or I do like you. I'm just not thinking about you, period. You know, it's not what it doesn't occupy my mind. He said, oh, and since that, at that point, my relationship with him totally changed. It was a breakthrough in the relationship. We have a much better relationship. Like, I don't, he had this thing that I looked at him one time, you know, I don't know, I probably wasn't even thinking about him. Maybe I was thinking about him, you know, and that's it. From now on, every time I see him, I must be thinking bad thoughts about him. Like he was thinking bad thoughts, I'm thinking bad thoughts about him. You know, he reads my mind. Why? Because I'm important. I was an important person to him, and he wanted my approval. And he felt like he wasn't getting it, and it bothered him, and he couldn't move on from that. He was defining himself by Elie Reinl's approval. That's a bad way to define yourself. You have to define yourself by Kodesh Baruch Hu's approval. Now, obviously, you shouldn't do things which are ridiculous. You know, so like I said, I couldn't care less people think about me, so I'm going to jump up and down on top of the beamer and crawl like a chicken. I mean, that's not the point. That's Navardic all the way, you know. But my point is, if you know you're doing something bad, even if people think you're good, it's not going to help you. Until you do something good, even if people think bad about you, it's also not going to help you. And for 120 years, it really doesn't make a difference. So the ability to move on and be able to move on with life and not have tainas is partially because we have to be much more comfortable with ourselves, more than we have to work out why this guy didn't do something bad. That's not the issue. The issue is inside of us. If you'll excuse me, because it is Erev Rosh Hashanah, it's the last time I'm going to say shmooze for the tomorrow. Tomorrow morning we'll do this Hilchus, some Yoni Tefillah and Rosh Hashanah. What about the other pshat over here? The other pshat, you're supposed to give Musar. Being Mekabel Musar is difficult. You know, direct Musar at you, not a public Musar. You know, somebody comes to the point that you've done something wrong. You know, what you're doing is not right. It's uncomfortable. One of my rabbis one time said to me, he doesn't understand why, and I guess he's a person who's very comfortable with himself. He's very comfortable with himself. He has no airs about him. And says, you know, if somebody comes and points out this, you know, you left your light on in your car. You say, thank you very much. I appreciate it very much. You tell me I shouldn't wear out my battery. So he points out, by the way, you're doing this halacha wrong. He says, thank you very much. I'm happy now. I can correct it. No, I have a good reason why I do it, and it's like, it's the reshitas, and I have some minig, and you know, whoa. I just pointed out that your batteries are left out in your car. Like, you know, your lights are going to go, you're going to get burned out. You know, the battery's going to burn out. That's all I did. It's okay. You know, no. You're attacking me. No. You have to defend myself. There's no attack. I have to defend myself. That's on the Makabal side. Why do you give to? Why do you have to give teichacha? You should care. It bothers me that the guy next to me is hurting himself. It bothers the guy next to me is doing something wrong. I care about the person next to me. So I care about the person next to me enough that when something is going good, I'd like to point out, you know, you're doing great. I care about enough that I should want to daven for him when he needs help. I care about enough that I should be happy I should be happy for him when he's doing well. And I should feel bad for him when he's not doing well, and I want to help him. If you only care about him enough when he's doing something wrong to point out he's doing something wrong, but when he's doing something good, he's doing okay, you're not happy for him. And daven for him, you're never daven for him. But to point out something, you have a problem. But I'm a fruma, I do the mitzvah of techacha. The chokh has to come from the heart that cares. And when it comes from the heart that cares, it goes in, it works. It comes from a person who's, you know, busy noticing being negative, it doesn't work. We should have hearts that care. It should bother me that the guy next to me is not coming to daven. I feel bad for him. You know, he'll get insulted if I say something. Yeah, it's true, but it should bother you. If it bothers you enough, you'll find a way to convey to the person that you feel bad for him, that you would like to help him if you could. That you care. It bothers me that the guy next to me is not being successful in yeshiva. Am I davening for you? I'm davening for him. What can I do to help him? We can't live in, we can't live in our own dalanamis, our own bubble, you know. That's not what it means to be a Ben Torah. It's what it means to be a Ben Yisrael. That's why there's so many mitzvahs which pull ourselves out of ourselves, out of our comfort level, and focus in on somebody else's needs. I thought this, I don't know, way back when I think it was a bachur, so maybe it was a young man. I started noticing tefillin. I got very involved in the tefillin being too low. You know, people have the tefillin down too low. And so somebody came in, a guest came into yeshiva, and the tefillin was too low. So I know how to change the knot to fix it for him. So I wanted to go over and point it out, but I was very embarrassed. Like, you know, the guy's going to think, he's going to think about me, you know, he's going to be upset at me. And I said, you know, I'm being selfish. I'm thinking about how much it bothers me. Meanwhile, this person is not being mekayem mitzvah tefillin. This person is making brachas of atala. He's going to go after 120 years in Shemayim and he's saying, I put it on so many days. I said, no, you didn't. And I didn't do it because I'm embarrassed. So I'm being very selfish. I'm thinking just about myself and not about the other person. So I got out of my comfort zone and I went over to the person and I said, you know, by the way, I noticed that you're feeling too low. I can help you. I can fix it for you. He said, oh, thank you so much. And that was like such a nice, you know, Baruch Hashem. He didn't scream at me, yell at me, because I don't know what I would have done the next time after that. And then it happened once, it happened twice. Next thing you know, like everybody in Yeshiva, when they notice somebody had tefillin too low, they go, Reingold, take care of it. Hey, Reingold, this guy's tefillin too low, go tell him. He said, what about you? Well, you're the person telling everybody about tefillin. Like, you know, but why has it to be me? That also meant, at the other end, I mean, I had a ma'isa once. This is why I ended up in Silver Spring, maybe. So Yeshiva's davening, it's Taka, it was Rosh Hashanah davening. No, it's in Kippur davening. So there's Yizkor. And so there's 500 people in Beis Medrash. No, it was Chazar Shoshat Shachrish Yom Kippur. Yeah, Yizkor. And a fellow walks in, obviously not from the Yeshiva, he'd driven up. He was looking for a place for Yizkor. And I guess somebody, you know, he found some type of map. You know, there's a synagogue nearby, and he came in for Yizkor. You know, and you heard the keys in the pocket. You know, it's Chazar Shoshats. Nobody talks during Chazar Shoshats. Not in Yom Kippur for sure. Not in Middle Beis Medrash. You know, this guy walks in, and there's 500 pairs of eyes staring at him. Now that's not an uncomfortable position. I don't know what is. And nobody made a move to walk over to him. So I motioned out to the front lobby, which the doors were open, of course. And I went over and said, "Shalom Aleichem." I ain't gonna leave the guy hanging there like that. So now the 500 pairs of eyes staring at me. You know, like, what did you do, Ryan? Oh, you know, like, But like, well, I'm supposed to think about my own feelings. Believe me, this guy felt worse than I did. Fry guy walks in, you know, and there's 500 pairs of, first of all, he thought he stepped into Mars, probably. Black hats, you know. Who knows what, you know, but, you know, we eat people or something in Yom Kippur after the fast. I don't know what he thought, you know. And, you know, and nobody makes a move to come over to him. I didn't enjoy it. Believe me, I did not enjoy walking over to him. And I was very happy to pretend that I was really nervous when asking him, you know, like that, and not notice it. But that's being selfish. I'm focusing on my own comfort level and not the other person's needs. The more we focus on other people's needs, we can move beyond our comfort level and reach out to somebody even though it's not comfortable. Not easy. And this b'chlal, again, this is the key of what it means to be a Ben Torah, what it means to be a Ben Yisrael, what it means to be a Yid, is to reach out to somebody else. Move beyond your comfort level, and whatever you have to do. We're not here to be in our comfort zone. We're here to be able to reach beyond, be in learning, being in davening, being in Ben Olam HaChaverot. And the Rosh Hashanah gave us, the avoda of Rosh Hashanah is that commitment. I'm not here for myself. I'm here because I'm an avid. I do what the Bereshit wants me to do. He said, go, you go. And he says, yeah, shalas ha'ayrechayim, because ain't nobody else going to walk over to that guy. And I had that strange premonition that it's going to be me. You know, I'm going to do it. That's what it's about. You know, we're avodim. We do what we have to do. Whether we like it or not. Whether it's comfortable or not. Whether we, you know, and that's where we're aiming for the Kabbalah of the Ol Malchus Shemayim on Rosh Hashanah. One last point, just bear with me, which is one more moment. A person who gets to that point, who taka moves beyond himself and looks around, there's so much to daven for on Rosh Hashanah. You know, each person has to daven for their own life. It's hard to recognize that. It's hard to recognize you're davening for your life. You're dominating for a year ahead of you, you don't know what's going to be in that year ahead of you. It's hard to recognize that. But it's a little bit easier to recognize the fact that there's people which clearly have needs. Yourself and other people have needs, which need to be focused on. And Klai Yisrael has needs, which need to be focused on. You look back to where we were a year ago, vis-a-vis the needs of Klai Yisrael, and the Baruch Hashem is clearly sending us a message, we've got to daven. The matzav in the world, vis-a-vis Eretz Yisrael, vis-a-vis Klal Yisrael, it's not gotten safer in the last year. It's gotten much worse. And a year from now, Erev Rosh Hashanah of Toshanayin Aleph, Chav Tes Elul of Toshanayin, we look back over the year and say, you know, that was the year which was defined by our tefillahs in Rosh Hashanah. What happened in Eretz Yisrael? What happened in Iran? What happened in throughout the Middle East? What happened in the terrorism and the Palestinians? Whatever happened in the person needed parnasa and the person who was gesund was defined by our tefillahs the next few days. We should daven for ourselves, and we should daven for ourselves. But it's, it should be davening for a lot of things. You know, all the tefillah said lashon rabim, because we're davening for Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael needs tefillahs. So there's so much soros, which exists already, which has the potential to happen. Chas v'shalom. You got to daven, and you got to step up to the plate, and do what you have to do. It seems to me that this Rosh Hashanah is a very, very, you know, every Rosh Hashanah is crucial. It seems to me that it's a very, very crucial Rosh Hashanah. So, Rabbi, commit yourself, focus in, that the tefillahs will be stark, your Kabbalah Soma Chashamah will be stark, your Rosh Hashanah will go by as it's supposed to be. If a person's talking a Kabbalah, Soma Chashamah, and Rosh Hashanah, they're supposed to. The tefillahs, the learning, the Suda will look like a pair of what a Suda Shalta is supposed to look like. The afternoon will be the time a person spent either learning, or if a person needs to rest, he should rest, but not wasting time. It's not a time to waste time. So we zayich ataka to a shnas gula. If sibuk simitar v'olav klai, so b'ezhashem.